Well, I moved into this room, if you could call it that, a week ago. I never do.
Hey, welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. Still to come on the program today, State Senator Chris Elliott, among others. So please stick around for that. But joining us now on the line, always an honor and a privilege to bring on my next guest. He represents the 3rd Congressional District here in Alabama. Congressman Mike Rogers joins us online. Congressman, how are you?
Doing wonderfully. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for making time. We do appreciate it. I guess it's still Fort Pelosi for now up on Capitol Hill. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, it's frustrating. We were fortunate. The chairman of the Armed Services Committee, along with me, we sent a letter out a little over a week ago calling for the fencing to be brought down, at least the outer fencing, and for a significant portion of the National Guard to be sent home, because we've been briefed and there is no longer a credible threat. And fortunately, they adhered to our request. The outer layer of fencing was taken down. A large percentage of the National Guardsmen were sent home, and the razor wire was taken off the top of the inner layer of fencing, which is right around the Capitol itself. So it still looks more like collusion than I want it to, but it doesn't look as bad as it did a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't look as menacing, but let me ask you, I mean, just because of COVID, there's not that much foot traffic there in the Capitol buildings anyway, is there?
Oh, there's absolutely no reason for that fencing to be up anymore. There never was any reason. That riot that happened on the 6th was, that just was poor planning on behalf of the Capitol Police and the Metropolitan Police. We have much bigger protests in Washington on a regular basis every year. Than that, they just did a terrible job of planning for it, and then even though they had the intel, they had good intel about it. So it was that was the reason it turned out like it did. But there was never a reason to bring in all the fencing and the razor wire and the large presence of of National Guardsmen. That's all a theater that Nancy Pelosi's trying to create the impression that Republicans are dangerous and Trump was the cause of all this. It is just silly. The most outrageous thing that she's doing right now, she still has members of the House having to walk through magnetometers to go on the House floor. And if you don't walk through them, then you get hit with a $5,000 fine that they automatically deduct from your next paycheck. So she's just out of control.
I mean, that doesn't sound like it meets the standard of the Constitution, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
Well, in fact, you're right. I mean, so what has happened? We've had two of our members intentionally, after the fines were levied, walk around so they would be fined, so they could have standing to bring litigation to challenge this. What was the most ironic thing about that was on the same day they were fined, Nancy Pelosi was seen walking around the magnetometers, of course, because she's Speaker, and nobody did anything to her. And when it was brought to her attention, she never has acknowledged or denied it, because she knows that they saw her do it. It's rules for everybody except her. It's like kind of when she goes to the beautician.
Yeah, it seems to be a trend there with Speaker Pelosi. Congressman, I want to turn to the border. I know that there have been members of some of your colleagues who made paid visits down there. I guess first let me ask you this. Do you think it's fair to call that situation a crisis?
Of course it is. Everybody knows it is. I think it's downright silly that the administration has refused to use that term, when obviously he must recognize that something's a crisis, because he put the vice president in charge of it. If it was not a crisis, you could have a much lower level person in charge of it. So everybody knows it is, and everybody knows it's because of his policy. You know, he said throughout the campaign he was going to get rid of the Trump immigration policies and invite these people in. So he shouldn't be surprised when all of a sudden you have thousands and thousands of these immigrants coming in. What people would be most disturbed to know is that the volume is so high that now, and because they have said they won't turn any kids away, that they are now not even testing the kids. They have so many of them, they don't have the capacity to keep them in housing. They're just turning them loose in the country. with no COVID test, no, where they're going, just letting them go, and no court date. It's outrageous, and we're in the middle of a pandemic.
Well, and then they have it. The Biden administration hasn't exactly been transparent, which is contradicts the campaign promises. But not just having been transparent with the media or the American public, but I feel like in some ways not really giving you guys on Capitol Hill really an honest assessment of what's going on.
Well, we wouldn't believe them if they gave us one. Our own members have been going down there. And as you know, Jeff, I was the ranking member of the Homeland Security Committee up until this Congress when we had the last crisis. And so I know exactly what, and I've been on the Homeland Security Committee since it was established. I've been to the border many, many times. I know exactly what they're dealing with, and it's a shame. We had that situation under control, and because of these changes in policy, now we have this flood of people trying to get into our country, and it's overwhelming our capacity, and it's unfortunate. Well, it was all avoidable.
It just seems that for the sake of being the opposite of Donald Trump and reversing, not just, you know, halting or maybe tweaking it here and there, but going in the opposite direction for the sake of doing so seems to be what's led to some of this.
It has. And even the president of Mexico has said this was solely because Biden changed the policy, because he's having to deal with these people from South and Central America coming through his country. They don't want to live in Mexico. They want to live in the United States, the wealthiest country on the planet. I don't blame them. But we had curbed this with Trump's policies. You know, when he said, basically, if you want to get in the United States, you can check in, get your court date, and stay on the Mexican side of the border until your court date. And that had an enormously chilling effect on folks trying to come up here. And it was working just fine. You know, Biden went and changed the policy and it said, come on, and that's exactly what you're doing. What I find just outrageous is the national news media is giving him a complete free pass on refusing to let them see what's going on. And today in his press conference, the first press conference he's had, was asked when they'd have access. He said, when my policies are in place. They said, well, how long will that take? He said, I don't know. Now, there is no way Donald Trump could have ever gotten by with that response. But this guy just gets a free pass because they're on his team.
Well, here's the question is, what's next? And it seems to me that maybe some of the Democrats on Capitol Hill could use this situation to try to advance some kind of major immigration bill through. Do you get the sense that that's kind of what's lining up?
No, I mean, they may try to, you know, they're going to try to, they got one more opportunity where they can run a bill through on reconciliation. And they may try to add that, but I don't think they would be able to keep it on there. Because what we're hearing, they're going to use reconciliation to move a transportation bill. If they tried to add immigration, I think that just like that happened with the minimum wage last time, the parliamentarian in the Senate would say that they couldn't do that. So, I mean, they may run some outrageous immigration bill out of the House because they can pass anything out of the House, but it won't become law. What I do expect and I'm worried about is them continuing just to turn thousands and thousands of these people loose in the country, knowing they're never going to show up for a court date. And that's just a shame because we are in the middle of a pandemic. We do have people unemployed because of the health crisis. And to throw more people into our safety net systems around the country is just unconscionable.
Joined by Congressman Mike Rogers of the 3rd Congressional District here on the program. Congressman, I want to turn to something else. Kind of become a hot, it always is a hot button issue whenever we have one of these tragic shootings, as we had in Boulder, Colorado this week. But the default position of the Democrats, when it suits their politics, is to take a shot at gun control, and you're starting to hear some buzz about some kind of, they like to term it as common sense gun reform or common sense gun measures or legislation or whatever that might be. Are you surprised, or I guess surprised isn't the word, but now is the time that they're striking? Do you get the sense that that is something that they're going to try as well?
they'll try something, but it has the same problem. Because we have the cloture rule in the Senate, they can't get anything enacted in the law on that unless they get rid of cloture. And as you know, both Senator Manchin from West Virginia and Senator Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona have both said they would never agree to vote to eliminate the 60-vote rule on cloture. So all those things, I'm sure they'll do a lot of boasting about what they're going to do by law, and they'll pass it out of the House, but it won't become law. This is so predictable. I mean, it's happened over and over again when we have outrageous tragedies. But what they don't want to deal with, and what most people in the national news media will not discuss, is in every one of these instances, I mean every one, where we've had multiple people killed by gun violence, it was because of mental health issues. This situation was no different. We have got to grapple with the fact that in the 1980s, this country made a conscious decision to try to deinstitutionalize people with mental health concerns. And they closed hospital units and beds all across the country, thinking that mainstreaming these people back into the community was the best thing for them. And it's not. And now we do not have the infrastructure to detect these individuals and to treat them. And we're going to have to deal with that. It is not about the guns. It's about mental health issues.
Congressman, we'll kind of wind it down on this. For our listeners, you are the ranking member on the House Armed Services Committee. Typically, a Democrat administration, be it the politics or just policy, you see downsizes in military spending. Now, you've been vocal asking for increases. What do you think is going to happen there? Do you get a sense what the Biden administration wants to do? I mean, we're coming out of, I guess, a very different circumstance with Donald Trump as president, but with the Pentagon and the way they want to run it, what do you think is in the cards there?
Well, Biden's already announced threw a trial balloon up, saying they plan to come out with level funding for the Defense Department. As you know, if they were to use the same number for last year or next year, that has an effective cut because of inflation. We would have to have an additional $15 or $16 billion added to what we spent last year for it to truly be a level. What I have advocated is not my number. It's what the bipartisan commission on national security strategy has recommended a couple of years ago and has been embraced by the last two secretaries of defense and this secretary of defense that President Biden appointed. That is a 3-5% increase in defense spending for the near future, because we're in the middle of modernization efforts of all sorts of platforms. And we're in a situation where China is spending money at their self amount, 7% increase a year. And I think China's lying. I think it's more than that. We got a real dangerous world out there, and we've got to get after it to keep our people safe. So, they've got a narrow majority in the House and narrow as possible in the Senate. They're going to have us to get a national defense authorization bill passed, as well as a defense spending bill. So I think you're going to see us have some impact on that number, and it's going to have to pop up to something over inflation to get Republican votes.
Well, and just tracking that as it goes, the world is becoming, or at least seemingly, more threatening, or more where the United States military presence needs to at least be a deterrent. Do you think that factors in to any of this policy making decision across all from the Pentagon all the way to Congress?
It does for the Pentagon. I have talked with every service chief. I've talked with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs at length. I've talked with the new Secretary of Defense at length. All of them are in complete agreement. And I know for a fact that the chairman and both the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and the Secretary of Defense have told the president they believe that we should adhere to the National Defense Strategy Commission recommendation of 3-5%. They know what the challenges are. What I'm the most angry about is the Democrats don't care. They see defense as the boogeyman, and they want to take money away from that and pay for their social programs. What I'm aggravated about is they just got through wasting most of a $1.9 trillion spending bill that only 9% dealt with COVID. The rest of it was just payoff to blue states and blue cities and counties and to union bosses. If they can come up with that kind of money to pay off their friends, but they can come up with another $30 or $40 billion to go on top of defense spending to make sure we can provide for our men and women in uniform. And if they think they're not going to do that, they're going to find us to be a real problem as we go forward this year.
Well, Congressman, we will leave it there, but we do appreciate you making time for us as always, and let's talk again real soon.
I look forward to it, Jeff. Thank you.
That was Congressman Mike Rogers of the 3rd Congressional District. We got to get out of here, get a break. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porsche Show on FM Talk 106.5. Talking about my generation. I hope I die before I get old.